right. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Tuesday, October 1st of 2024, and playoff baseball is upon us. We have a four-game playoff series today, so it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at Saber Sim. This is a show where we go over how to use the Saber Sim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there was a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual support channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. So can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days and get your questions answered. But with that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up here and let's jump into some questions that came in the Discord first, and then we will jump over to the live YouTube chat for any additional questions. So it looks like we have plenty to talk about today. Seeing about like five questions here in the Discord, and it's pretty good ones, a couple long ones, but we'll get to all of them as usual. So we're going to start by getting SaberSim up and getting this first question on the board. All right, I built lineups for a two-game Monday night slate. I noticed after running the contest sim and sorting by target contest ROI, I had almost 50% exposure to Will Levis at quarterback. I know I am free to adjust exposures, and I did, but I am wondering why the Sims would like him so much when he was the worst projected QB on the slate and had performed so poorly so far this season. Just curious about how it builds. Good question. You know, I got to a lot of Will Levis myself here. And one thing I'll say is that, you know, when there are less and less games on the slate, typically what happens is the ownership for the best plays go up. And in turn, you know, it basically comes down to this. Do the lower projected plays do good enough, often enough, to basically pay off their low ownership? Or like, do the best plays do good often enough to pay off their high ownership, right? That's kind of the way you're thinking about it. And, you know, this is from my own anecdotal, subjective, like, perspective. SaberSim will often, the less and less games there are on the slate, kind of flip the slate on its head, where it's like, okay, you know, the highest projected team is San Diego. And like, I would not be surprised to not see any San Diego and instead probably come in here and see a lot of Detroit and Kansas City, right? And we're using MLB as an example. I think on a two-game NFL slate, this actually gets exacerbated even more. But here, right, I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of Detroit and KC stacks if we just ran this, right? And, you know, I don't even know what the scores of the game are, but I do see that Framber Valdez has a very low live actual here. So that kind of tells me that Detroit is actually doing okay here. I don't know what the score of the game is, but this would be an example of that, right? Like, yeah, you know, Detroit doesn't do great on average, but do they do well enough, often enough, for the really low ownership that they probably have, like probably one of the lowest ownerships? And, you know, they only have three runs, right? But, you know, it is the first game of the day, so we'll kind of see how things play out. But I mean, kind of so far so good for Detroit. So I think that you can just expect that as player ownerships go up, the builder's going to try and get to more of the low owned plays. And I think Will Levis was like pretty low owned. I saw him coming in at like 11% on FanDuel. So all in all, pretty low. But I think that's what's going on there. All right. Hey, Andrew, I'm just trying to familiarize myself with the new SaberSim. Can you explain to me, please, the difference between direct fill and autofill? Like, in what circumstances would you want to use either one? There's a video already explaining this. You can just point me to it. Thanks. Yeah, good question. So I don't have any current files, but we could probably go back to Sunday. I'm sure I have an example in here. I think I did an owner's box example. All right. So I have an entry file here from the weekend, testing some stuff. So we can just run this and talk about it here. And we're just letting these lineups load. Okay, so right here, if you look, I have three contests, right? A three entry, 16 entries. So my two options are going to be direct fill and autofill, right? What are the differences? Well, let's say that, you know, I have a contest sim set up, right? Or I go and I set up contest sims for all three of these, and I would have to do custom, right? So I go, I do some contest sims, say $12. You know, the values don't really matter. We're just trying to explain something. 0.25. And then this last one is $3. So I'm just naming them their fee just so I can know what they mean. I don't really care about the outcome here as far as percentages and stuff like that. So let's kick this off. And I want to move some of these columns out of here. So while this runs, all right. Our screen is all the way we want it. And we're just waiting for the contest sim to finish. Contest sim seems to be taking a little longer than expected. Did I do something wrong? Oh, I'm simming it against itself by accident. Let's go to SaberSim ownership for these field sources. Okay, let's go back to build one. And let's try that one more time. So, for those just tuning in, we're going to be talking about the differences between direct and autofill. I'm trying to run a contest sim right now to get some ROIs so we can dig a little bit deeper here. But for the example, we do have three contests in our list. We're going to talk about different ways to use this. Just waiting on the contest sim. Ooh, I didn't turn off use live projections. Oh, well, it's fine. All right. So this contest sim is done, right? We updated the field. So what's happening in direct fill? So what direct fill is doing is it, depending on your sorting metric, right? So right now we're sorting by target contest ROI. So what is our target contest? They are the contests that are selected in this dropdown, this little arrow. So I'm in direct fill. I go to save the arrow next to it. However many contests are selected are my target. Now, what happens? So what happens is, and this is using the live stuff, so it's kind of off, but we basically go and take the ROIs from every contest sim, and then we average it together. And then the average ends up being how we sort the lineups. So that's what happens in direct fill. If you want to go contest by contest in direct fill, what you need to do is go into the contest selector, select one contest. The lineups will update to reflect only the contest sim ROI results of that contest and then resort the lineups. So however many lineups are selected in direct fill has a very big impact on how the lineups are sorted. Okay. So that's the first thing. And then in direct fill, you get access to looking at all of the lineups. You have this exposure column describing how many players are in how many lineups, et cetera, here, right? Autofill, you lose the access to the lineups and you're looking. So with auto, you're looking at contests only, not lineups. I misspoke. And then the other thing is that exposure goes away, right? We see this entry exposure is our primary column and it's all zero. And the reason for that is because we haven't put lineups into these contests yet. So we don't want to give you false information. So what happens in autofill, although you are looking at all of the lineups, we do not take the average. When this is set to target contest ROI, what happens here is when we click save, what we do is we uncheck the contests, we check the top one, we sort the lineups by this contest sim's ROI, we apply any uniques, any min or max exposures, we put the lineups into this contest, we uncheck, we go to the next contest, we resort the lineups, apply min uniques, fill this contest, and then we go down the list until we're done. You can kind of see this in action when you click save, right? And let's say I'm just going to apply a couple mini uniques, right? So I'm going to say 3, 3, 3. When I click save, you're going to see source one. You're going to see the lineups get filled in order. It kind of goes fast, but the source gets updated for the top one, and then the source gets updated for the second one, and then the source got updated for the third one, and then we can save them. Now, as it does this, it is taking lineups out of the pool. It is putting three lineups in here. It is taking those out. And then it is using new unique lineups for the second contest, new unique lineups for the third contest. So that is all happening automatically. After the lineups are filled, you can click this down arrow and then you can go in and then you can see the lineups and see some of their summary statistics if you so choose. So that's another thing there. But that is the big difference between direct and autofill is the access to the lineups, the access to the exposures before you save versus after you save. And direct fill will be a little bit slower. Autofill is a little bit faster. So you got to kind of weigh the trade-offs and see which one works best for your process. All right, next question. Hey, Andrew, could you help me out with setting some lineup rules for NFL main slates? Example, from this past Sunday's main slate, how would you create the following stacking rule for DraftKings lineups with the new Saber Sim? CJ Stroud with Collins and Diggs, Kyler Murray with Elijah Higgins, and one of Harris or Wilson, Caleb Williams with one of DJ Moore or Rome Odunze. Thanks for your help. Okay, so what I would do is if we go back to the main, so let's take this Caleb Williams one, for example. Caleb Williams with one of DJ Moore or Rome. So what I would say is come in here. We'll do a fresh build. So I want to go to my rules. I want to go to group. I want to go to add new rule. I want to do a group manual rule. And I would say if at least one primary player is going to be Caleb Williams, let's find Chicago here. I check Caleb Williams over here on the left. I click save. So now Caleb Williams is in this primary slot. I need to select the secondary so this green box moves over. Okay, that's key. Click edit. And then I say Moore and Rome. I add them to this list. And I click save. So then now it says if at least one Caleb Williams, then use at least one of these two. Now, if you only want one of these two, then you say exactly, right? So your thing said DJ Moore or Rome, right? So I would say exactly. Now, if this was the CJ Stroud example, where it's like CJ Stroud with Collins and Diggs, I would just change this to two. I would say if at least one CJ Stroud, then use exactly two, and then it would be Diggs and Moore. I'm sorry, Diggs and Collins instead of the two that we're looking at, right? But that would work for this one. Third is Kyler Murray with Elijah Higgins and one of Harris or Wilson. So this one, you're going to need to do two rules, right? You're going to need to do, if at least one Kyler, then use exactly one Higgins. And then you do a second stacking rule or second manual group rule that says, if at least one Kyler Murray, then use, and then we'd say exactly one Harrison or Wilson would be on the secondary. So they're all some iteration of this rule, and you just need to work them all in. But this is what you're trying to do. All right, next question. I've noticed after making adjustments, my saved lineups will be greater than the number of lineups in my field. What is actually happening here? To follow that question up, let's say, okay, so there's two questions. So let's start with the first one. So this first question, let's go back to our build with the entries. Says, I've noticed after making adjustments, my saved lineups will be greater than the number of lineups in my field. So I'm not 100% sure what's going on there, but what I can say is that, you know, we did this demo, right, where we filled the lineups. So I have 22 entries in my contests. I have 22 in my lineups, and then I have saved 22. Okay, so once I click save, the 22 lineups in my lineups goes into the saved section. Now, if I come in here, make some adjustments, minimax exposures, tweak some more stuff, and then click save for a second time, well, now the saved lineups are higher than my entries because I've made more adjustments and I've used additional entries to satisfy the new requirements that I've put on the builder. The way to keep this number the same would be to go into the saved, remove the lineups from saved and put them back into your available pool, and then go back to my lineups and then click save again. And then now it's 22, right? So every time I save a second time without putting the lineups in the saved back into my lineups, then that number can start to bleed over and actually be bigger. So that's probably what you're seeing. All right. Second question. To follow that question up, let's say I want 50 lineups with players A and B locked in, then 50 lineups with A and B omitted. Can this be done somehow? I do not think we can adjust lineups though. Yes, you can do this. So you're going to want to take advantage of the favorites feature. So let's say in this build here, I want to do, you know, I have 22 lineups. Let's say I want to do 11 and I want to do them a very specific way, right? So what I would do is I would come in here. I would set my lineups to 11 and it looks like there's a bug with my lineups not changing, but it looks like the exposures change, right? So we see 100%, we see 11. So that means I actually have 11 lineups, not 22. So let's just report a quick bug. Changing my lineups number is updating exposures correctly, but my lineups number reverting back to previous two, we'll say two entries. Let's try that. So that would be good enough, right? But here, right, I have 11 lineups. So let's say I want to do these 11 lineups super particular. What I would do is I would come in here, right? Like this would be, I would have a rule and I would say use players A and B, right? And then I would come in here and I would save it to the favorites. So what this is going to do, it's going to take these 11 lineups and then send them to this favorites tab. And we see it says favorites 11, right? Perfect. Then I would go and I would do a second build, build two, where I'm not using those players A and B, build the other 11 lineups, send those to the favorites. And then now from the favorites tab, I can come in here and I can save it to my contests, right? I still have my contests available here and I can click save and those lineups will go into the 22 entries I have. So you'd probably want to use the favorites to do this. All right, next question. I feel I'm able to use SaberSim really well with a light touch in every sport except NFL. In NFL, SaberSim seems to provide heavy leverage to the most owned players. This weekend was another example. Take running backs, for instance. There were no real cheap plays that warranted a strong over-leveraged position. There were several running backs at around the same price. All that could be necessary to win. It's really hard to accept a 60 to 70% exposure across close to 400 lineups in the main slate. Doesn't seem like it's worth the risk. Any guidance for how to deal with this? If I tweak min uniques, it doesn't make too much difference. Yet at the same time, if I make another tweak, my ROI goes down the toilet. Any ideas would be helpful. So I'm not sure what the main slate looked like this weekend. A little hard to tell. You know, let's just like go to the main. And let's reset these columns. Let's go to running backs. So often, I don't know who it was jamming or what, but oftentimes what's going to, you know, really be important here is kind of the value for these running backs, right? Cam Akers was obviously huge value, 3.35. We got to a lot of him. Didn't do very well, right? Ogunbowale like vultured his touchdown, so that was unfortunate. But I've noticed, at least in the past, like when Zach Charbonnet was starting for Kenneth Walker, he was really good value. When Jordan Mason wasn't priced up yet for taking over for Christian McCaffrey, really high value, right? So a lot of it comes down to like the value of these running backs. And then the other thing is going to be, you know, how much leverage you're willing to accept, right? So something I've talked about is setting a global max exposure just for building your lineups and then resetting it after the fact. So basically what you're doing is you are forcing SaberSim to give you a more diverse pool by setting a global max up front and then being willing to play more than that exposure after the fact. So what this would look like is, okay, I'm going to go to my all tab. I actually don't know if it works like this. Let's see. So let's say I only select running backs. And then I go and I set a max exposure where, you know what, in my pool, I want no more than 40% exposure to any one running back. So I didn't do that. This does work like across the board. You know, you could just say, okay, I don't want more than 40% exposure to any one player. And then I build my lineups. And then after the build, I go in and I reset them and saying, okay, now that we have started with a more diverse pool, now I'm willing to let SaberSim decide who were the best plays from there, right? You could go even lower, right? We came up with this idea, Max and I did on last year's like build review show, where he was talking about putting like a 15% max exposure to every quarterback to try and get more spread out, right? Like that was just an idea that he had on the fly. But it's something you could try and something you can apply there. So possibly try that, do some test builds, see how things are looking later in the week and give that a shot. So that'd be one thing I would be trying to do. All right. Next question. After the post build, as well as running the contest sims, while building a portfolio, do I need to run another contest sim under favorites? Also, do I need to aggregate metrics under autofill, like direct fill? Thanks. Good question. I don't think it's necessary to run another contest sim in the favorites. You know, you've basically already ran it and are just trying to get those lineups, be it different sets of lineups, into a contest together. So I don't really know or see the need for running contest sims in favorites. We added that functionality, I think, because, you know, there are use cases that I'm obviously like not aware of where it is benefiting people. So there is, you know, something there where it is useful for people, but if it's not useful for you, then there's no need for you to do it. So that's what I would be thinking. So if you're like, hey, like, you know, I'm putting my lineups in the favorites, like I'm already good, you know, don't do anything additional that is not necessary, would be my advice. All right. Good stuff so far. Jumping over to the live YouTube chat. Not really a question, but Mitch said, you know, Sims gave me a little Scooble, lots of Valdez getting smoked in early baseball. I mean, you know, those things happen, you know, that's why it's the good thing is that, you know, it's daily fantasy sports, right? If you miss today, you can just come back tomorrow. That's why bankroll management's important. That's why contest selection is important. That's why spreading out and getting a lot of lineups down, you know, we talk about it in our DFS profit plan is, hey, you know, you don't want to play five lineups. You want to play, 150 lineups. And I'm not saying in one contest, but, you know, lots of 20 maxes, low stakes, dime times, quarter jukeboxes, $1 20 maxes, you know, start from the ground up, get a lot of lineups in, manage your risk. And, you know, if you don't do good today, like, hey, you know, your most likely outcome on any given day is losing, right? I mean, in our backtesting project, we found that a winning player, 20% expected ROI, only has 6 to 8 winning days in a calendar month. So that means they're losing 22 to 24 days playing every day. And then if you go back to like post-contest sims, you're going to see like the median profit is usually negative, you know? So those things happen. Doesn't mean you did anything wrong, right? The best thing to do is come into the builder tomorrow and come in and look and say, hey, did I enter positive sim ROI lineups into this contest? And if I did, great, I'm on the right track. If I didn't, then I need to change something up. So the fact that, you know, you missed on Valdez does not mean that you did something wrong. All right. Sam said, even if that is live sim, how can the top ROI be -99? Something has to be off. It might have to do with like Rashee Rice being doubtful too. I'm not 100% sure, but I wasn't trying too hard to get that right. So it's all good. We got the point across. All right. Samuel said, thanks for the answer. And how come aggregates do not show the average under autofill as direct fill do? I need to add them, or does that not matter? Thanks. Okay. So thank you for reminding me. So there's been some confusion about what the aggregate metrics are showing under autofill as opposed to what they are showing in direct fill. We're going to be cleaning this up a little bit to make it a little bit clearer, but basically the way that this has been described to me to this point, and let me go and find it. Okay. So imagine like we had one for like average ROI, right? So the way it was described to me is that aggregate metrics are the aggregates of whatever metric is being displayed. So if you're using target ROI, like if you're using, say, like minimum destination target ROI, it's the minimum of the average ROIs when all contests are selected. So the average destination ROI across all the contests can have a negative minimum value, even if it is not negative in a specific contest that was filled. So then we talked about, you know, this is what can be confusing, is that we're like averaging it first and then showing it, as opposed to on like a more like lineup by lineup basis. So it's a little funny the way it works, and we know that's a little confusing. So we're going to try and clean that up. All right. Samuel said, mine doesn't show any numbers at all under autofill, which is why I was asking. If you feel like something's a little bit off here, send us a message. That way we could dive into it a little bit more and we'll look into it and we'll get back to you. So that's the best thing you could do for us. All right. Keeping it rolling here. And checking the office hours channel. No additional questions at the moment, so I think we're good so far. Question from Sam. Even if it doesn't apply to that particular example, when I'm manually creating contest simulations and sorting by target contest, if it's not aggregating, then it's not functioning correctly. I think it's functioning as intended, but it's not functioning as people would expect. And I think that's where the confusion is mainly. So, you know, it could be something that like we continue the discussion with in Discord a little bit. Scott's a little bit better at explaining how this is working than I am. And, you know, that was like basically an excerpt from a conversation that I was having with him, trying to wrap my head around it. But I think we're all caught up with questions here at the moment. So appreciate everybody tuning in. I will be back here in about 25 minutes for our build review show. If anybody wants to get signed up, all you got to do, drop your DK username in the office hours channel in our Discord server, and I will add you to the queue. But until then, thank you. Take care. Good luck.